This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hey there, Dave.
Now, in this segment, we look at the local restaurant scene as Restaurant Weeks continues. Many restaurants are offering special deals to bring in the diners in the post-holiday winter period. Joining us to talk about restaurants, Robert I. Burke. Mr. Burke is proprietor of the Potiphar Restaurant in downtown Providence, a veteran Providence restaurateur, also founder of the Independence Trail in Providence. Thanks for joining us.
Bonjour. It's nice to be here.
In this post-holiday period, is it really that slow in the restaurant business?
Well, yeah. What happens is everybody goes out and decides they need to lose 15 pounds. They need to stop charging anything additional to their credit card. And occasionally some of them make New Year's resolutions, which involve all kinds of things to, deprive themselves of everything that they love in some kind of old puritanical belief that this will cleanse their soul. And after, a couple of weeks of that, the health clubs empty back out, the credit card bills get forgotten, they turn into bohemians again, and we are ready with open arms to greet them for wonderful meals and great drinks by the middle of January. So the timing is very well timed, at least in terms of the cycle of human behavior, shall we say.
You opened in 1972 at Potiphar, correct?
Yes, the restaurant first opened there at that location and was really the first of the what we like to refer to as the Renaissance restaurants of Providence, defining that by saying that it was really the first place you could get something other than steak, spaghetti, or chow mein. You know, it had been a very bland diet up until that time.
Now, as I recall, you opened up in a recession, in a kind of dead downtown Providence. What brought you to Providence? And second part of the question, explain your longevity.
Well, my mom and my papa brought me to Providence. I'm a fourth-generation native of Rhode Island, and the big thing is that we didn't start the restaurant. My wife started there in 1979, and I was actually still a junior at LaSalle when the Potiphar first opened. You know, back then, you're absolutely right. My grandfather used to refer to downtown Providence as a graveyard with lights, and some people thought he was being unfair to graveyards, that they weren't really as scary as downtown was in those days. But the Biltmore was boarded up, and we were in a tough place. You know, the whole beginning, Julia Child had really started to interest Americans in cuisines other than meatloaf. And all of a sudden, this was catching on. And now we've seen really a revolution in food, not just in our state, but nationally, internationally.
Have you seen the restaurant weeks? Do you see a different clientele?
Yeah, absolutely. By definition, your restaurant weeks is an opportunity for people who might not normally be able to go out and afford some of the restaurants that they're able to. It's a package deal. It's $29.95 for a three-course meal, which is certainly a great value. So absolutely, we see a value shopper, but we also see a shopper who is out wanting to dine, and they get the spirit of this is a fun time to try things you might not normally try. So that combination works into being, good sales volume at a quiet time.
Do you make extra efforts to reconnect with them? Sort of like, this is the entry point, and you want to make them longer-term customers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hoped-for outcome, but the reality that we found over the years is that, generally speaking, we'll see them again this summer when Restaurant Weeks gets repeated. But, they go and they talk to people, they tell people, they're interested in food and wine and good experiences. So, it's something that's worthwhile because word of mouth in Rhode Island is the gold standard. So there's a lot of people who'll be talking about the Potiphar and saying that they were there and they had a good experience, we hope. That benefits us.
On The Bottom Line, our guest is Mr. Robert I. Burke, proprietor of the Potiphar Restaurant in downtown Providence, founder of the Independence Trail. And we were speaking before about just the explosions of good restaurants in the Rhode Island area that, conceivably one could eat a good meal at a restaurant for months and not return to that particular restaurant. How do you explain the tremendous success and reputation of Rhode Island restaurants, I guess, worldwide?
Well, first of all, we don't want anybody doing what you just suggested. We want them to come and then come back again on Thursday, not wait wait 3 months. I love economics, and one of the things that economists always talk about in business formation is barriers to entry. And one of your biggest barriers to entry in any industry is the availability of skilled labor. And what people don't realize, I think, is the extent to which Johnson & Wales University has provided an enormous number of skilled workers who are ready to go into the business. And I don't think it's any coincidence that our restaurant scene has very much to do with the fact that we're able to staff restaurants with competent staff, talented people who are interested in the business. A lot of cities you go to, the only people who are in the business are, you know, actors waiting to get hired, people who are out of work. That doesn't make for a great product when you're staffing your restaurant with those kinds of people. But here in Providence, because we have this enormous pool of skilled labor and they're very interested, it makes for a great product. And what happens then, I think, is that that's what has really built the momentum behind the explosion of restaurants in our city.
Is the Rhode Island restaurant industry capable of more substantial growth? Has it reached its peak?
You know, there's an interesting thing that's happening. My parents would eat out once every 2 weeks, okay? And my generation is eating out a couple of times a week, and my children's generation is eating out 7 nights a week. So mathematically, what's happening is part of the reason that we see such enormous growth in the industry right now is because of the fact that we're going on a generational shift, really, to as many as 14 or 20 meals per week eaten out. Now, mathematically, we're going to get to a point where you've got so many seats in the country, and you will reach the limit. Until that's reached, we are still in a growth phase with more concepts opening and more availability for people. But we're getting to the point where people just aren't going to eat at home anymore. I mean, we get closer to that moment every day.
Does the new generation of diners have a different taste, different expectations of service?
Their expectations of service are much, much lower than previous generations. They wouldn't know if you put a fork down on the wrong spot if you put it on somebody else's table. They have no idea of manners, etiquette. They're completely clueless about many of the kinds of things that make dining out a great experience. They're typically on their way somewhere else. They grew up believing that their stomach is a tank. You need to put fuel in it. You have to refill it every 4 hours. You know, America runs on Dunkin' the way your car runs on, you know, high octane. And it's really unfortunate because this generation is missing out on something really spectacular. So there's real big differences. But they love going out. They love the experience. I would say they love the social experience, except many times they sit there texting to each other at the table or texting other people. It's not so social, but it's changed dramatically.
What you said sort of runs counter to a little bit of the, you know, in popular culture, you have this growth in the foodie, younger foodies and the locavore movement. So am I incorrect to say that they're contradictory, or do you see
No,
that?
It's just that their attachment's an emotional attachment to food and this idea of the locavore, okay? What they don't know about the food is absolutely astounding. They're completely clueless. So many of people in this generation have no idea that food grows on a farm. If you took them to a farm and said, what's that, they'd have no idea. And this is part of it. They don't understand the food chain. They love this idea that something grew on a farm. But frankly, most of them never stepped foot anywhere near a farm and really doesn't know, you know, what it's all about. And I think that their attachment is very emotional. I think that there's a lot of people who know a lot more about food, fine dining, these kinds of things, know more about wine. But they're in love with the trendiness. They're in love with the latest new thing. It's actually an interesting thing at the restaurant. We like to tell people, if you're coming here for the cutting edge, don't bother. We don't have it. We're not even interested in the cutting edge. We're so far behind the cutting edge, and we're delighted. If a recipe hasn't been cooked for 50 or 100 years, I'm not even interested in looking at it, never mind serving it. And our eyes are focused firmly on the food of hundreds of years ago. We're focused on the French traditions, the boeuf bourguignon, the great bouillabaisse, the stews, the slow cooking, all of these kinds of things that, frankly, aren't fashionable for a lot of the younger generation.
We'll have to leave it here. And our thanks to Potiphar proprietor Robert I. Burke. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much. And come out for Restaurant Weeks. Enjoy a good meal in Providence.
Also, thanks to Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
As always, glad to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio.